Welcome to a Frugal Athlete podcast, where we interview athletes, both current and former, on the prudent financial practices and smart career decisions they are making. In these episodes, we dive into what it means to be a frugal athlete. You might think that frugal just means being cheap, but as you will soon learn, being frugal is more complex than that.
Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of a Frugal Athlete podcast. Today, we got a very special guest, a fellow Igbo brother, a young game changer doing a lot of different things in the sports business marketing space. Can't wait to dive into his story. Peter of Tycoon Enterprises. Peter, how you doing today?
Feeling good, man. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Nah, thank you for taking the time. So real quick, we're just going to get right into it. Obviously, this is our first time officially meeting, but obviously we have a lot of synergy, a lot of overlap. So for the people that may not know you, give us a quick synopsis.
Yeah, I'm Peter Igbo. As you said, I'm a African-American here who was born in Maryland, but I'm originally from Nigeria. I went to school there for a few years. And in 2018, when I was concluding high school, I wasn't, you know, necessarily the best test taker. And so like if one was to just give you like my SAT scores and my GPA, you probably would have just thought that I was, you know, good for nothing. So that closed a lot of doors for me when you think about like internships, when you think about like college acceptance as a graduating senior in high school. So at the time, I did know I had some sort of passion for marketing. But again, because of those numbers, I wasn't able to, get those opportunities. You know, I didn't meet a lot of GPA requirements, definitely didn't meet any SAT requirements. So between like internships and colleges, I definitely had a very short shot. So that just kind of motivated me to just showcase, you know, the passion I had that was building up when it came to marketing and the launch of, Tycoon Agency, which is, the flagship company under Tycoon Enterprises, which is a conglomerate minority owned business that has different businesses in entertainment, marketing, sports and more. So that's Tycoon nutshell. And it really just started, for me just being neglected due to my statistical representation at the time, in regards to like my GPA and SAT. So, yeah.
No, I appreciate you sharing that story and being fully transparent. And obviously, you know, us both being Nigerian, Igbo Nigerians as well, our parents put an emphasis on education. Can you talk about, you know, the different pathways to learning? It's not just education, you know, or entrepreneurship, there's corporate, there's artistic, there's creativity, there's marketing. So talk about like the many different pathways if you're not stuck in the books or like the stats and the numbers.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny you say that because I have a pretty interesting take on it, in regards to pathways to learning, depending on, you know, specifically what you're trying to get into. But, you know, the way I look at it from my personal experiences is kind of like a mixture of all of them. So you have, you know, like internships and work experiences, you have school, you know, then you also have like your entrepreneur route where you're kind of applying. We're not applying, but you're kind of taking these things one step at a time, learning these things, as you go. And the way I kind of look at it is really incorporating all of these things. So, you know, I'm a college graduate. You know, I did 7 internships when I was in school. I run my businesses. But the way I went about it was when I was at these internships and even when I was at school, you know, for me, it was a timing thing because I had already started my business coming into college in the first place. So, you know, with that being said, like that was something I looked at school or I looked at internships as a place of, you know, adapting, of getting resources to help my business. So in school, whether I'm talking to professors who can connect me with potential clients or whether I'm speaking with students who, would want to get some marketing experience and, you know, work at Tycoon, which is how a lot of our work was done. It was a lot of people who I was going to school with who happened to be, you know, going to school for marketing and wanted to get some sort of experience. And Tycoon kind of served as that, plate. But at the same time, you know, I'm still actively, you know, running the business. And then same thing with the stuff I was learning in class. Because, you know, I knew I was running a marketing company, I tailored what I was going to school for, you know, to the services our business offers. So I went to school for strategic communication. So that's how I kind of use school to kind of tie in, you know, to what I'm doing. So like, as I was learning in school, like literally after I learned in school, I take it and then practice it on Tycoon. You know what I mean? Like if we're learning about reaching out to a client or we're learning certain communications practices, you know, I literally would take those things and then apply it to the business. Same thing with internships amongst like my 7 internships. Literally Tycoon is literally where it is today is a result of like 1 or 2 things I may have learned, you know, in an internship. You know what I mean? So it's like I think that all of those things kind of come together, you know what I mean? And then if you're one to kind of just pick one, then, you know, even going back down to the question, you know, diversify your method of learning. I'm equally one for, you know, YouTube University, you know what I mean? Like a lot of things, even now TikTok can educate you on a lot of things you think it may not be able to, you know what I mean? So you don't want to underestimate the technology that's available, you know, to you when it comes to educational resources, whether that's college or whether that's TikTok or whether that's YouTube or whether that's, you know, entrepreneurship and just kind of learning as you go. I think, you know, like you said, there are different faucets, but then think and like kind of concluding on how you bring all of these, you know, components together, I think is what it comes down to, because a lot of these things kind of, you know, overlap and layer in regards to how you can learn from it. So really just, you know, maximizing how you can, you know, get information, I think is definitely vital.
Yeah, that's really important how you said that. I think it's really a culmination of everything that you just said. Experiences, insights, analytics, learnings, whether it's, you know, direct education or technical education or their sources. I think the most important thing is just checking your sources and then applying it and, you know, learning from those applications that you do. You know, so you mentioned how young you were when you started a business. And what I like about your story is that you're involved in sports business without being a professional athlete. A lot of times people are discouraged, like there's only one way to get involved in sports, and that's playing on the court or on the field, where you're right there with the players that you serve and representing these clients, but you're not playing, you're not dribbling a ball, you're not throwing a football. So talk about that mindset of like still being involved in the game without having to break a sweat.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, it all comes down to, you know, understanding a problem in the area and then the value you can provide. Because obviously, you know, there is a lot of problems in the sports business that playing ball doesn't solve, that playing ball isn't the direct solution to it, right? You know what I mean? So when you think about, you know, college sports and, you know, the NIL business that's emerging right now, there are obviously numerous, you know, loopholes. There's numerous areas of improvements that, you know, come with other solutions outside of, you know, being on the court. So, you know, obviously in my case, it may be some sort of marketing expertise. In another person's case, it may be some sort of legal expertise. And really just identifying that area of opportunity and really just, you know, going after it, especially like, you know, in a space like NIL where it's, you know, developing and you know, it's not something you want to wait to blow up before you hop in it, you know, at least, you know, if you're a person like me, at least I'm somebody who likes to get involved in things. If I kind of see where it's going. So I think that, you know, kind of like what you were just saying, I think that even though I wasn't on the field, I was in the classes, you know what I mean? Like student athletes, again, you know, just kind of speaking on college sports since that's my space, but, you know, student athletes, you know, it's not athlete student. They're students first and then the athletes. So with that being said, they're still in class. They're still, you know, in mentorship things where they're still having relationships with people like myself. So I think that, you know, even being in these spaces, even boiling it down to being an HBCU alum. So, you know, being in spaces with people who look like me and you know, and vice versa. So I think that, you know, these are additional, like all solutions that, you know, can come to play in sports outside of, you know, physically playing, you know, that I think was able to kind of, you know, shine itself in front of me. It's again, when it comes to like the NIL aspect of it and how it just made sense with the potential solutions that we were able to offer at the time of ideation.
No, I love it. So talk about, you know, your take. What's your take on NIL? You know, coming from a different lens, you know, not the athlete, but the marketer, the one that's helping your clients, you know, find these deals.
Yeah, I think NIL is something that is like again, I see it like a stock that's about to blow right now. You know, it's not even like 5 years like fully in, you know, in game. Say definitely not like 3 years. It's probably approaching like 2 years, I guess, going into this summer or 3 years. So I think that it's something that's still you know, moving around. Like certain laws are not clear. Certain schools have the opportunities to take the whole thing into their hand, which may benefit or you know, have a disadvantage on, you know, what one is working on. You know, but I think that there's a lot of opportunity, especially for, you know, underrepresented people like myself when we speak from the business aspect of it. You know what I mean? Again, like with Tycoon Sports being, you know, the first NIL marketing agency, you know, specifically focused on NIL, not like with like a pro agency with an NIL version. You know, that kind of just goes to show, I just graduated college last year, you know, so it's still people who look like me who have not gotten into, you know, the space, which kind of just speaks for that opportunity that is there for people who are good at PR, for people who are good at journalism, for people who are good at marketing, for people who are good at communication to, you know, get up with their with people who are in their class with. You know, sometimes I wish I was in school for like one more year just to be on campus right now with this thing going on, man. It would have been even crazier. You know what I mean? Because I would have physically been able to, you know, be with the athletes and speak with them and all of that stuff, even though that's all is still a part of this process, but, you know, more and more less frequent than it would have been, you know, if I was still a student. But, you know, I think, you know, right now athletes are also like slowly even getting to understand like what NIL is, you know, even to themselves, like, you know, even just breaking, you know, the name, image and likeness part of it. A lot of athletes are still, you know, trying to identify like what name could look like, what image can look like, what likeness can look like, you know, in those three separate, you know, aspects as it kind of boils down to, you know, opportunities of monetization. So I think that and then also what I've also been noticing, like certain schools are, you know, playing a part in increasing awareness about it. So like I know, for example, like Michigan State, I was just speaking to their compliance team and they, you know, have education programs in place that are at least educating and creating that awareness around NILs, which I think is good and something that hopefully, you know, becomes more common amongst like other schools, especially HBCUs. You know, and, you know, speaking to HBCUs, that's equally a market that I see is being overlooked right now, which is what's, you know, keeping me so like gendered, because like we got to get the brothers, we got to get the sisters, you know, because they're there. Yeah. You know, bringing these the schools monies, they're there, you know, really making a big impact when it comes to, you know, college sports as it relates to those specific campuses. So these students equally need to be, you know, in the pie of conversation when we're talking about NIL and whatnot. And, you know, even just kind of backing it out from a marketing standpoint, you know, brands are projected to spend, you know, billions of dollars in influencer marketing, you know, as the years goes on. And I definitely feel as though like student athletes can get a part of that pie, you know, if their NILs, you know, properly, you know, identified and utilized.
I love how you touched on that, you know, the influencer piece, because now with NIL, student athletes are able to fall under that bucket at a cheaper price than getting a professional athlete. They may have to jump through hoops. You got to go through this hoop and that hoop and endorsements and stuff, where student athletes in that younger demographic are able to create content at a higher rate and a more engaging rate because they know like the trends, they know the methods, they know picking up a phone like this and making it simple. I think that's really important. But what I really want to talk about, and I think it's important to highlight for anyone that's looking to get into the sports business space or the sports marketing space that's still in college, definitely take your route. You know, the fact that you have proximity to the student athletes that you eventually are going to serve, if there's a way to tie that in, if you look at, you know, some people that are in the space today, you know, one of Steph Curry's business partners was his, you know, Davidson teammate. If you look at Andrew Rogers, he's someone that went to Kentucky and he manages a couple players that went to Kentucky at the time. So that is a unique way to take advantage of proximity. And I really love that you touched on that in terms of making sure that if you're a student athlete and you know you're not going to go on to play professional sports, use that proximity to try things, to potentially manage an athlete, to be a liaison, to work from that lens. So kudos to you.
1,000%, man, 1,000. And I think that even goes to any business, honestly speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you think about like just being in college, like that's one thing that sometimes when people always ask me, like, what's the biggest thing that I'm happy I went to college for, is that proximity of being able to tell 100 people. If I wanted to tell 100 people about my business every day, I literally could do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The proximity that you have to the students and the professors, like you literally could promote your physically to 100 different, if you really wanted to, you could really do that. And I think that like just being out of college right now is just like, oh my gosh, I just wish like I was just on one more extra of an oomph. Like just who, but I did definitely take advantage of my college times and that whole proximity thing, which definitely speaks to, you know, a lot of the tycoon success. Cause yeah, a lot of it was like, you know, college friends, roommates, yeah, professors, you know, even till now, like I literally spoke to at least like 4 of my professors last week. You know what I mean? So, you know, school is really, yeah, school, even it's funny, I didn't think it was going to have an impact on me when I was going on to, at least in this way. Like, I didn't think I would graduate and be like, man, school. I'm not talking about like the education part. Don't get it twisted. The education part also was had its benefits, but I see more of the value in just like the network of
being the network,
You know what I mean? Like it's
the user base, the community, all that stuff. Yeah. So let's break it down. You know, obviously, you know, you have Tycoon Enterprises. That's the conglomerate. That's the holding company. But within that, you have Tycoon Sports, specifically NIL catered to HBCUs, but not agnostic to just HBCUs. So talk about, like, you know, finding that first client and, you know, ultimately getting those first deals done. What advice would you have for anyone, you know, trying to follow?
Yeah, the reason why I'm laughing is because, you know, that actually had to be one of the, like, the rockiest processes of, especially like starting out, you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially when you have zero athletes, when you have one athletes. Right now we just have five, which is intentional, but that also comes into the conversation about, you know, why do you just have five athletes? You know, I mean, the answer is, you know, simply I'm a big, you know, quality over quantity person. Love so like, I don't like, you know, I don't want to be in a situation where we have like 20 athletes and then you ask me like, you know, what are they doing? And I say, you know, nothing. We just have 20 athletes. You know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be that.
That's very important. That's very important that you said that, because a lot of people will be like, oh, because you represent these guys or these gals, I want to sign with you. But it's like, how can you take care of all those people under your umbrella if you want to focus on me? So I love this approach.
Yeah. And you know, that was one thing that comes about. And even being new, you know, like a lot of athletes, you know, I mean, the good thing is, again, that's why, again, I always love when I speak to like sports lawyers or sports agents, I always highlight, and what I realized about the value of being Black in the sports business, of how easier certain conversations are to have, you know what I mean? And you have to just think about it, because it's just like having, like talking to a brother, you know, or talking to like somebody at your school. They like, there is no like additional, you know, vibe on the call or any of that to make it feel like I can't ask this guy a question that I really want to know, or he can't tell me what it really is. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
You know, I say that to say that, like, you know, I'm able to, and I guess, I don't know if it's experience or school, what it is, but I guess, you know, I'm blessed with the gift of being able to communicate, you know, our current position, but then, you know, the steps that we're taking on to like make some sort of progress. So in other words, like if an athlete is asking me like, you know, what have you done for the athletes you have right now? You know, at the time, where there was absolutely nothing done, you know, obviously the answer would be something along the lines of, you know, we're a startup agency right now. You know, while before we launched, we were taking up the time to, you know, speak to different partners who would be fit for different athletes. So right now we're speaking for athletes, you know, who may be fit for some of the partners that we have right now, while, you know, actively seeking new partnerships based off of those athletes' interests as identified, you know, after our partnership and whatnot. So again, it's really just kind of making it make sense, you know, to the athlete, you know, if you're in a position like myself where you're starting out, like, you know, why you're at this position, and then what things were done before now, if any, you know, to make sure that if the athlete does partner with you, that there is something of some sort, you know, that's going to happen. And I think, you know, also was really just pinpointing like pain points in different conversations that I have with athletes, and then just refining, you know, our value. You know what I mean? So like, when your athletes talk about like exclusive partnerships, that's why all of our partnerships are non-exclusive, because we know how athletes are, like, you know, leaving opportunities on the table, and not even just leaving opportunities, missing out on opportunities, you know, because of, especially when we're talking about college sports, you know, which is very crazy, you know, it's exclusive, you know, unless we're talking about like millions, even if it is millions. I mean, let me take that back. Let me not speak on that, but answer the question, you know, just really taking these pinpoints and feedback just from conversations and questions from the artist to make sure that from the athlete side, that we're you know, providing the best experience. And I think that helps with the next conversation, and that helps with the next conversation. And even when you speak to a compliance officer who thinks they know it all, you know, you'll be able to say, well, I spoke to these athletes and they said this, so this is what I really think it is, and where I really think we can help. So I think, you know, just and that's kind of what I like about entrepreneurship, like, that's something that YouTube probably wasn't going to teach me as much as YouTube videos are the ones they're going to watch. It actually requires me taking the step to, you know, reach out to an athlete, understand what the pain points are before I know, you know what, over here, we need to do this different. You know what I mean? So I think just those forward steps really helped out.
So it's almost like you're helping athletes, at least from what I'm getting at, is you're helping them build the building blocks so that now it's like, all right, now I know what NIL is. All right, now I've identified what I want to do, where I want to go. Perfect. Now we're going to work on ways to get these opportunities. So I think that's really important, because, you know, you see a lot of athletes, it's like, all right, I have NIL, where's my millions of dollars? And it's like, whoa, take a step back. You got to figure out who you are as a person, your identity, what kind of brand you want to personify, and then which brands and partners fit that mold of what you are trying to do. Because if I'm into health and fitness, it doesn't make sense for me to represent a fast food brand that doesn't promote health and fitness.
Exactly.
I really think that you're doing a good thing helping these athletes. What I want to ask next is, for an athlete that may be new to NIL, like, what are some immediate things that they can do from a branding perspective to help get them in the right position for potential opportunities?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing, and this is something that we also take big pride on over at Tycoon Sports, is creative storytelling. You know what I mean? So I feel like every athlete has stories. And, you know, I really feel like a lot of athletes may just think, you know, I'm not scoring the most of my team, or I don't have the most followers on my team, or I don't have my blue check, that they're limited, you know, to success when it comes to this NIL game. I think that, personally, there's a lot of value in stories. You know what I mean? Like whether you know, it's something that you're going through in your personal life or in your family, or something that may not even be non like athletic related. You know what I mean? That may have a valuable story that can make a very big impact on just bigger than your campus or bigger than your school, city, or whatever that case may be. And, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, being an influencer. It's really just kind of putting that influence I had on, just like for a second, you could just take the athlete part, you know, to the side. Cause more than likely, if you're an athlete, you already have athlete content more than enough on your page. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like thinking about, like, how can I diversify my content? How can I show who I really am? And, you know, this is what we do when we first onboard athletes. Is the first thing we do before we even have like a welcome to the team conversation is, you know, like you were just talking about, we have them fill out a questionnaire that kind of helps us understand like their favorite skin products, their favorite hair products, their favorite, you know, passion, you know, projects that we might not be known about, or we might not see on Instagram, you know, whoever the inspiration is, like you said, just so we can kind of build that identity to help them navigate what type of content should you share. Oh, you like poetry? Well, how about you show them that side of you? Or you like music? How about you show them that side? Or how about you incorporate it into the athletic thing stuff if you want to maintain that brand? But, you know, really just highlighting things that are just a bit more personable, you know, with creative content, I think is how athletes can at least just get the start. You know what I mean?
No, most definitely. And then obviously, you know, because you're a businessman, you're an entrepreneur, as athletes want to be entrepreneurs. What advice do you have from like startup perspective when it comes to money? You know, this is a Frugal Athlete podcast, so we talk about financial literacy, we talk about money, we talk about personal finance. What advice would you have, you know, as it pertains to, you know, building your bottom line, building revenue, profit, just basic financial principles, not only to apply for entrepreneurship, but, you know, as an athlete making this money with the NIL deals?
That's a great question. The reason why I like that question is because it ties to something that we believe at, you know, over at, you know, at our agency. And that's that we believe that athletes can really utilize, like, whether it's 1 year or 2 years, 3 years, all the way to their 4 or 5 years, depending on your situation. You can use that time frame, if your NIL is utilized properly, to set yourself straight for 35 years, 30 years. You know what I mean? When you think about athletes who are securing long-term deals or bigger deals, or deals that are, you know, of large sum that can really help even beyond college time. I think, and like, you know, when it comes to like investing, it's funny that she asked that as well. And I don't think I mentioned it, but at Tycoon Sports, we have a sector called, you know, post-grad development advising, where we work with athletes who want to get like entrepreneurship, or even if they, because, you know, I've come to the realization that not everybody wants to be, even though I'm going to tell everybody to, you know, launch their dream into a business, but I've gotten into some arguments where people try to just say everybody can be the boss. I'm like, all right. You know what I mean? You know, to answer your question, you know, but that on that side, we, you know, we talk about, you know, oh, you want to, if you don't know what to do with your money, well, let's maybe talk about real estate, or let's maybe talk about stocks, or let's talk about all these different ways that, you know, your money can work for you. You know what I mean? Because I myself, I'm into those things. So I don't want people who was affiliated with me to be oblivious to it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Or not have any idea of these opportunities. So, you know, those type of opportunities are things that, you know, we, you know, introduce and, you know, highlight to athletes, you know, especially something that's probably going to be more active of a conversation once they actually start, you know, monetizing their NIL. But, you know, really preaching and educating, you know, having money work for you. And then even all the way down to just saving and just understanding like emergency savings and understanding like, all right, you want to, you know, start a business. Well, ideating like those costs and how much, you know, your NIL, you know, how much you can make off your NIL or how much you want to make off your NIL rather to launch that business and really just kind of helping them, you know, step by step with those business goals. And that's why, you know, we work with a few athletes because we want to be able to cater to each personal situation as it relates to things like this, because now it kind of is shifting from NIL into just full plain business planning and conversation. So depending on, you know, what you're offering and stuff like that, you could do that, but with so many people's, you know, so that's definitely a conversation that we definitely don't forget to have.
No, I love that. So before we close, I want to ask you one last question. You know, obviously NIL is in a unique space. It's only 2-3 years in. Where do you see it 5 years from now? And how do you see Tycoon, you know, playing a role in this space?
Yeah, I see NIL being something that a lot, because, you know, even now, like, at least in Maryland, where my hometown is at, like, even high schools are getting NIL deals now. So I feel like it's something that is going to, you know, really run the game of, you know, both high school and college sports, but obviously particularly college sports. And I also think that I feel like it's going to have some good sides and I feel like it's going to have some bad sides. You know, I think like I was just reading something today about the NCAA punishing some head coach over at Miami for just like, I believe, dinner or something like that. You know what I mean? So yeah. I believe they plan to sue. So now you kind of already see like how that is starting to become, you know what I'm saying, like head clashing, and then how that may make the player feel. Like nobody's even talking about how the player may feel because she's the in the middle of all of this, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, you know, all of these things, that's abrupt, and hopefully, you know, the NCAA makes some more clear and standardized rules to avoid, you know, such conflicts. But as far as Tycoon Sports, you know, I definitely see us being at the top. And the reason being is because of a variety of differentiation factors that I can go on about, but, you know, mainly, you know, myself and then most of the people on the team being, you know, recent college and HBCU grads, which creates that value in the aspect of relatability that I think has really, really helped us a lot when it comes to having conversations or onboarding athletes or speaking with potential partners. And then all the way down to like not being exclusive. So it's like, we literally can go to the biggest athlete and be like, yo, you can partner with us and it can only help you. It won't hurt you. You just have an extra partner or extra team member. It's not at the cost of any exclusivity or any of that. So I think that and then even all the way, I didn't mention as well, because I know we're talking a lot about brand deals, but we also have a merch design and apparel side where athletes can creatively express themselves through fashion. And the reason why I added that component, even though like one can view it as like, aren't you doing a lot, like, you know, post-grad market, you know what I mean, brand deals and merch,
it's a holistic approach.
Yeah, but you know, the reality of it is, and like as a former pro athlete, you know, like a lot of these brand deals take a long time. So like if an athlete has 1 year left, we're not gonna sit and wait for them to get one deal. Yo, what designs do you want? Let's get some merch out. Let's see how much money we can make off this merch before you get out of school or before you go pro. You know what I mean? So like you said, it's a very holistic approach. So like, even if, like, for example, like one of the athletes we just onboarded, he hasn't started playing yet because he's going to be an incoming freshman, but we can already start talking about the merch. We already know the brand deals conversation is going to be a longer term conversation, but we can have the merch conversation. So the NIL monetization process and exploitation process is already taking place, you know? So I think that's one of the few of many benefits of, you know, like what we're trying to bring to the game and how I think that's going to play a role in the future.
No, that's great. And I'm excited for you and what you're building. I think
it's not like we need to partner up, man. You got a lot of things I'm taking note on over here myself too.
Oh, so most definitely. We can make that happen. We're definitely gonna talk offline about that. Yeah. If you need a financial literacy partner for some of your clients, then let's definitely make that happen. But moving forward, you know, you're definitely in a niche that is really cool to see, and I'm excited for you. For the folks that may want to connect with you, follow up with you, how can they do so? We're going to have all that information in the show notes. Once again, thank you so much, Peter, for your time. And we're really excited for what you got building. Share your socials, but we're also going to put it in the show notes as well.
Oh, yeah, man. On Instagram, it's the only, and then the number one, Gucci P. And then on LinkedIn is Peter Ewu. So that's Peter, and then my last name, Iwuh. And then hopefully potential brand partnerships, athletes, you know, whatever like area of collaboration we're open for discussion. So, yeah, thanks, man, for having me. Definitely excited for this.
And before we close, one book or resource that you'd recommend for any athlete to, you know, look into?
Resource. Oh, Front office sports NIL marketing certification. It's a certification I have. It's free. You know, whether you're an athlete or somebody interested in the NIL space in general, it talks about everything NIL as it relates to like social media metrics and how athletes can use social to build their brand, particularly on Facebook and Instagram. Actually, Facebook and Instagram teams are leading those courses. So you're learning from the top dogs in regards to, you know, marketing. So I think that, you know, it's a great, again, like front office sports NIL marketing certification is a certification I have, and everybody who works for me is going to be required to get that certification because it's free and then, you know, valuable. So I definitely would encourage, you know, anybody watching who's interested to get that certification.
Yeah. Shout out to the guys over at Front Office Sports and their partnership with Meta to bring that to life. Yeah. I also took the course. It's a great course, and shout out to doing your homework. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again, Peter, for the podcast. Learned a lot. Not only did we talk about pathways to learning, we talked about the benefits of proximity and the importance of creative storytelling. So make sure you check out the episode. Please leave a review, subscribe, share with the buddy. Once again, follow Peter and all the moves that he's making over at Tycoon Enterprises. And we'll catch you all next week.
Thank you for tuning into this podcast episode. For more information, check out the show notes and go to our website, www.afrugalathlete.com. If you enjoyed, please leave a favorable rating and review and share and subscribe. Thank you so much. They're not unwind. Words are the wise. Don't gotta be suits and ties. We're living in a time where every move is scrutinized.